Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, all.
We were supposed to be joined this week by Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo as her guest, but something came up at the last minute. Instead, we've got the governor's outgoing communications director, Mike Rea. Thank you for joining us, Mike.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Let's start with the $9.9 billion budget plan unveiled by Governor Raimondo earlier this month. The spending plan avoids any broad-based tax increases, but it does include almost $60 million in new taxes and fees. Mike Rea, critics say Rhode Islanders already pay too much in taxes and fees. Are they wrong?
I think when you look at this budget, you take a look at it for a budget that makes a lot of decisions for the long term and protects the investments and the progress that we've made so that it's resilient going forward. We needed to do that in a way that we didn't pass on a burden to Rhode Islanders at a broad level. And for the fifth straight year, the governor's introduced a budget with no broad-based taxes. We've cut the car tax again, and we're on track to eliminate the car tax at the original time that it would be eliminated. But there are tough decisions that need to be made, and a lot of those things and a lot of the fees and additional revenue streams that are in there is about making it fair and bringing fairness into our budget. People buy things differently now. They buy things on Amazon. They buy things online. They buy things over the internet where they used to go to the store. And the person who still goes to the store is going to pay that sales tax. And we just thought that this was a way to make it fair.
Just a quick follow-up before we go to Maureen. There are a number of scoops taking money from quasi-public agencies. Mm-hmm. Critics call that a one-time fix, which is not a smart way of budgeting. How do you respond?
I think the transfers or the scoops, as you called them, it's something that does happen every year. It's always a last resort. And in the governor's letter to the legislature, she has said that if there is additional revenue in come May or there's additional savings that are found, that those would be the first things restored. And that's always been the governor's practice. And oftentimes, those are funds that are able to go towards other similar projects.
I tend to agree. I mean, when you think about this, let's think about the numbers. $9.9 billion. $60 million? I mean, it was interesting when Brendan Bell was complaining about the budget, all he could say was he didn't like the fees. And I thought, that's probably a good sign. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree with you. I think it's an investment in the long term in education and job training. And I think adjusting for the fairness as far as the Amazon tax and so forth, I think it's a pretty good budget. And again, let's remember, the legislature has a crack at this. So this is her proposal. Let's see what they come up with.
Well, Scott, this is a relatively good period of economic growth in the nation and Rhode Island, but a lot of people think a recession is on the horizon. If the governor is needing to raise some of these limited taxes and fees now and take money from quasi-publics, what does that portend for the future?
Well, you just don't know what the economy is going to do. The stock market's been volatile. Unemployment is down. We're pretty close, I think, to full employment, given the size of the workforce that we have. I am wondering, though, why there was so little attention in the state of the state, especially to housing. The governor didn't even mention it, not one word about housing in her state of the state, scooping money from Rhode Island housing. It appears to a lot of people like she and your administration helped push Barbara Fields out of there. And wondering why we have this Secretary of Commerce on a committee when you have Nick Ritsenas, who's head of the board of Rhode Island Housing, and nobody knows more about housing than he does, mm-hmm. former U.S. Housing Commissioner. Why so little attention being paid to housing? Why Stefan Pryor, the commerce guy, is on the board to try to find a new executive director at Rhode Island Housing? It seems a little weird to me.
I've worked with the governor closely on the last three states of the state, and you could write six other states of the state for the things that end up on the cutting room floor. Just this week, the governor made an announcement that she is going to put her full weight behind an effort to remove income source discrimination from housing.
I noticed Rhode Island Housing wasn't part of that.
I don't know if there was a scheduling thing or where that came from. But the governor is fully aware and fully committed to providing more opportunity at every step of the ladder, including at housing. And it's why she's working with advocates and working with the legislature to remove that income source discrimination. And to Barbara Fields, there have been no better advocates for housing. She's at a national level and is nationally respected in the field, and is we wish her the best as she goes in and uses that kind of network and the work that she's put in place in Rhode Island and whatever she does next.
Let's switch gears and talk about the red hot abortion issue in Rhode Island. The Rhode Island House Judiciary Committee held a marathon hearing this week on a series of abortion bills. Supporters say it's time to codify Roe v. Wade in Rhode Island because of what's happening nationally with the Supreme Court. Opponents fear that would lead to an increase in abortions. But let's really cut to the chase here. It seems like the decider on whether any of this legislation moves to the House floor is House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. As we know, he has a somewhat conservative district in Cranston. Mike Rea, why would it be in Speaker Mattiello's political interest to let the so-called Reproductive Health Care Act come to the House floor this year?
I don't want to put any words or speak on what the Speaker's thinking around something would be, but this is about protecting Rhode Islanders against uncertainty coming out of Washington. Women's access to health care, Rhode Islanders' access to health care from the ACA down through Roe v. Wade is vulnerable and at risk right now with the Supreme Court and with the decisions that are being made by the Trump administration.
You say right now, but the Supreme Court does not appear poised anytime in the immediate future to take action on Roe v. Wade. So what do you say to the argument that this is not an imminent threat and that if the Supreme Court were to ever overturn Roe v. Wade, there would be time to respond?
I think that we should take the steps that we need to ensure and enshrine what is currently the status quo in Rhode Island to be able to protect against actions that the court may take. And I disagree that it's not I disagree with your premise that it's not at imminent risk, because there are a number of cases in lower courts that are moving their way through and could very quickly find their way at the Supreme Court level. And what the governor said in her State of the State is that this is the time to protect Rhode Islanders' access to health care, including women's access to reproductive health care, and not to do anything more than what we currently allow and protect the status quo of the health care that women and all Rhode Islanders have access to.
Scott, what do you say on the question of why Speaker Mattiello would bring this nettlesome issue to the House floor this year?
Well, because a lot of people are behind it. You've got 39 co-sponsors for this bill. And the women's side of the Democratic Party, I would argue this is a mainstream Democratic Party position at this point. You know, in the platform is preserving Roe v. Wade. And maybe the people who are on Speaker Mattiello's side, maybe the more conservative Democrats, maybe they're out of the Democratic mainstream in these days. The poll that we did here at the Public Radio, Channel 6, and, of course, the Providence Journal, showed that over 70% of Rhode Island voters support the Roe v. Wade standard. So I think it's a majority.
I agree. And the thing is, this is an idea whose time has come. And I can give you another idea why Nick Mattiello might want to put this to rest. This is the most divisive issue in American politics in about 50 years. And I understand both sides. I personally, of course, am pro-choice. But we have to move on. And now it seems with the polls, with the number of sponsors, this is the time to finally get a bill out. And by the way, let the legislators stand up and be counted, because what Mattiello has been doing is giving cover to them by not letting it on the floor. So let's have a debate about this. Let's it go to the floor, see who supports it. We have to move on. There's a lot of things we have to do, and this comes up every year, and I think this is the time.
That's all the time we have, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And this also marks Mike Rea's last day on the job as Governor Raimondo's communications director. He's moving on to an unspecified private sector job. Best wishes to you, Mike, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.